Blog Talk Radio.
This is Creskin. You know me as the amazing Creskin. Would you believe it or not, can you imagine my dream? Whenever I'm in Vegas, I enjoy picking up girls with Mr. Media.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, brought to you today on iPhones, Android, Palm, and BlackBerry by the Stitcher app for mobile devices, and also brought to you today by 1-800-DIALDJs.com. If you need live entertainment for your party, wedding, bar mitzvah, or corporate event in the New York, New Jersey, or Philadelphia metro areas, check out 1-800-DIALDJs.com or call 1-800-DIALDJs for a real good time. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and hometown of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Storm, Tampa Bay Rowdies, and, oh, yeah, Yankees fans, the American League East leading Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay, Florida. If you're a pro or college football fan and you haven't yet read Pete Williams' landmark investigation of the NFL draft, simply titled The Draft, you're not quite the fan you think you are. Pete Williams went behind the scenes not just of draft day in 2005, but of the entire process, interviewing pro scouts, coaches, and GMs, as well as college coaches, highly touted players, and their agents, to produce an incredibly revealing portrait of how things really work in the land of million-dollar bonus babies. Now, if that's all Williams had ever produced, it would be a pretty good career of which to boast. But he's also written 5 core performance books with Phoenix, Arizona-based athletic trainer Mark Verstegen, the latest of which is Core Performance Women. In his free time, Williams also hosts a regular show, on Blog Talk Radio called The Fitness Buff. He's also someone I've been proud to call a friend for many years. Pete, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Thanks, Bob.
I can't hear Pete.
Let's try again.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
I'll just talk to you for a minute while we try to connect all the audio. And I'm holding up, for those of you able to watch on video, this is Pete's book, The Draft. You may have already seen it on the slide. It is a tremendous resource for anyone who's a football pro or college fan. Pete also writes for a number of newspapers and magazines about sports. Frequently I run into him down at Tropicana Field covering the Rays. So hopefully we'll hear him in a moment.
We hear him. Can you not hear him?
I cannot hear Pete, no. I can hear you, but I can't hear Pete.
Pete, go again.
I'm still here. Any luck?
Let's go to break.
Well, folks, we're going to keep working on the technical issues for just a minute. Let me tell you a little bit about Pete. I'll just read from the book. He has, of course, written about the business of sports for publications such as USA Today and Street & Smith's Sports Business Journal. And among his other books are Fun is Good with Mike Vec. Of course, you all baseball fans know that that rhymes with rec. And he lives here in the Tampa Bay area, which is why I'm able to occasionally go have lunch with him. I still can't hear him. I'm hoping that'll be fixed in a moment. Pete, I appreciate your patience hanging out there while we get this straight. Yeah, I'm not much of a talker without somebody to talk with, you know? Not something I have to do very often. Pete is also a triathlete. He likes to, I don't know what attracts him to this, but he likes to do these Ironman type type of races, and I think he's crazy. But if you saw Pete, you'd see that he's built for it, which may be the biggest difference between the two of us. I can walk around the block. Pete can run, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he's done real whole marathons, you know, 26 miles, but would not surprise me. If you go to his website, PeteWilliams.net, you can see more information. I think there's information there about his racing. And he's also on Facebook. You can add him as a friend on Facebook. Just look up Pete Williams. Don't choose the NBC correspondent Pete Williams. That's another guy, very different. What else can I tell you about Pete while we try to get straightened out on the sound? Pete's show, The Fitness Buff, is frequently broadcast live from a nudist resort, which I had known Pete for a while before I made that connection that that's why the show was called The Fitness Buff. Everybody get it now? Yeah. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. I'm not that clever. Let me see what else I can tell you about my friend Pete. I mentioned his website, didn't I? PeteWilliams.net. He's also a sports memorabilia expert. He has written two books on the subject. He wrote Card Sharks, and he also wrote Sports Memorabilia for Dummies. And both of those books are still in print, and you can still order them. We're still working out the bumps here. You know, this is brand new technology for all of us, bringing in the two video feeds and slides and all the different types of sound. So we appreciate you bearing with it. And, you know, I wish I could say that I thought that someone was just...
Try again.
Okay, I hear our producer. I don't hear Pete.
No.
Up, oh, wait.
Here.
Pete?
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, there's Pete. Hey, Pete.
All right.
Welcome officially to the show. How are you?
Thanks, and thanks for probably one of the longest introductions on record. I appreciate that.
thank God I've known you for a few years and can think of things off the top of my head to say about you. My God. Hey, Pete, the NFL draft, of course, was just completed in the last week. And, you know, in your book, I don't want to quiz you about last week's draft because, frankly, I'm not that up on it. You know, I know some of the highlights. But you focused a great deal on the process behind football's big day. What surprised you the most from the research that you did?
Well, I think that you realize it's a year-long process. For all the ubiquitous nature of the commentators and everything else, it really is a year-long process that begins for the professional scouts about right now. I mean, they're really going to be digging in for the 2011 draft within the next few weeks, and it's not something they just start on in January with the Senior Bowl and the Combine in February. It's something that really is a year-long process. I guess you could say even longer than that, because they have at least one eye on these players as soon as they start showing pro potential, which for a lot of these guys can be their freshman or sophomore years.
One of the things I wonder is how much of it is, you know, is set in stone weeks and even, you know, a month or more before the actual draft. And the reason I ask that is very often, and there's exceptions, but very often it seems like the player has already made contact, they has been in touch with the team knows whether the player wants to come to their team or not. You know, it seems very orchestrated.
It is. And, you know, where a guy is drafted, I should say, by what team is rarely a surprise, because these players are in the months leading up to the NFL draft, brought in for private workouts, or they may get more contact from some teams than others. It's very rare that a guy is drafted by a team that he feels surprised about. Usually he has a pretty good idea based on the contact he's had with teams that are the ones that have shown the most interest. I think most guys, if they were forced to do so the night before the draft, could probably list a five or six of the most likely teams to draft them, and most likely those would indeed be the, one of the teams selecting them.
Now, the incident that I think of that maybe has caused it to be so orchestrated ever since is when our dear departed friend Hugh Culverhouse, the owner of the Bucks, drafted Bo Jackson, even though Jackson said he would not come here. And have there been other cases like that since, or was that the one that said to the owners, you damn well better know if this guy wants to come play for your team?
Well, of course, the one that's comparable about the same era was John Elway, drafted by the Baltimore Colts, and he didn't want to go play there either, so he ended up with the Denver Broncos. We don't see this in the NFL too much because usually the teams are willing to pay. We see this more in baseball where certain teams just aren't going to pay if they have the top pick, and we see this with the agent Scott Boras, who pretty much scares some teams away from drafting his players. But in the NFL, that's rarely the case. Bo Jackson, John Elway, of course, notable exceptions to the rule, but that's not something we've really seen in recent years.
Do the college kids coming through the draft or coming up to the draft, do they have any say in their future? I always find this fascinating in a capitalist society, an open society as we tend to have, that they can't really negotiate with more than one person. They seem to have to go with whoever wants them, really.
Yeah, and that's the nature of the NFL draft. But in fairness, especially at the top of the first round, the signing bonuses are pretty outrageous. I mean, compared to even within the twisted, warped economics of professional sports, I mean, for a guy to get a signing bonus of $35 to $40 million before he's even played a down of football in the NFL is pretty ludicrous, again, even by the warped economics of the NFL. But I think what we're going to see in this next round of labor negotiations that's upon us, threatening the 2011 season, is that I think that's going to be on the table, and that the Players Association might be willing to have more of a hard cap and or slotted salaries, even more so than what they have now, in exchange for some other concessions from the NFL owners.
I said that I wouldn't quiz you on the last week's draft itself, but there was one player, and I think you'd be comfortable with this. There was a guy from USF, for the life of me, I can't think of his name right now. That's the University of South Florida for people outside of the South, who went to the Giants, very high pick, first time that school has ever sent anyone first round. Was I the only one who was surprised by that? I mean, the guy had only had one really big college season.
Right. He had been a junior college transfer. His last name is a hyphenated name, Pierre Paul. His last name is a first name escapes me at the moment, too. But he had played just 1 year of junior college ball and then transferred to USF. And, yeah, was thought of, as most junior college kids are, as a guy with some potential, but it's hard to really ascertain just how much. Usually guys that end up playing junior college ball do so for one of two reasons. One, they just weren't recruited at all, or more commonly, they didn't qualify academically for a Division I school. But not sure the case with Pierre Paul, but he really distinguished himself not only in his 1 year at USF, but in the pre-draft season when he went to the combine and in his pro day, and he just had that element of pro professional ability in terms of both his physical nature and also his skill set that really matched up well. And a guy like that, it's not unheard of for someone to do this, but it still is unusual. I mean, it's for a guy to essentially in a 1 year period go from a complete unknown to a guy picked in the first half, the first round.
I thought that was kind of odd. And then the flip side, oh, here I go again, breaking my promise. Well, the flip side of that, I thought, was, and I don't follow this that closely. You know, I'm an NFL fan. I follow the Bucs a bit, not so much lately, but, you know, I like to watch football on Sundays, college football on the weekend, but on Saturdays. But Tim Tebow going to Denver was pretty much a surprise, wasn't it? I mean, personally, I was expecting the Jacksonville Jaguars would give him 20% of the team just to get him up there and sell some damn tickets.
Right, and the prognosticators on Tebow, starting from his, you name it, freshman year of college, the thought was, well, he plays in this this college system. His arm slot from which he threw the ball wasn't going to make it in the NFL. Again, as for all his college talent, it wasn't a skill set that would mesh well. People thought of him as a fourth-round pick. In the months leading up to the NFL draft, he adjusted his arm angle, his release point. That seemed to appease a lot of teams. And a lot of them just liked the makeup of the guy, above all else, his leadership qualities, his winning attitude, of course, his winning experience. And so for a team like the Denver Broncos, who, even though they have a relatively new administration, historically has always been kind of a little bit of a gutsier team when it comes to making these calls on draft day, some of which have backfired. But yeah, for a team like Denver, they like a guy like Tebow. You know, will he materialize? And that's a big question. I mean, the draft is always a crapshoot, especially at the quarterback position, especially a guy like Tim Tebow, who's been dissected and debated probably more so than any player of the last decade.
Now, I asked that question as a Gator myself, and very interested to see where he would go. Of course, I just really believe that he was going to go to a team that needed help selling tickets first and foremost. It'll be interesting to see how he meshes with the coach there. You know, in Florida, he was with a coach who was, I think it's safe to say, very much like him. He's a very humanistic guy, a very down-to-earth kind of guy, whereas, a guy like Tebow probably wouldn't have done as well with Steve Spurrier, a previous Gator coach. It might not have meshed as well.
Yeah, no question about it. But when you talk about Tebow going to Denver, I mean, even in this brutal economy we're under, which the NFL has not been immune to that, 3 years ago the NFL was selling out 95% of its seats, and even now, there aren't that many franchises that have a lot of seats available, and the Denver Broncos are certainly not one of them. That's you talk about a rabid regional fan base that doesn't need any help selling tickets. But so they don't need Tim Tebow in that regard. That said, they've sold a lot of Tim Tebow jerseys in the last week. But yeah, to your point with Urban Meyer, no doubt there was a very good fit there, personality-wise. Not sure Tim Tebow's quite as high-strung, shall we say, as Urban Meyer, but nevertheless, when you're talking competitive fire, definitely birds of a feather.
All right. Well, this is Bob Andelman. You're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with sports writer Pete Williams, author of The Draft and 5 Core Performance Books with trainer Mark Verstegen. And I want to ask you, what is the basic idea behind the Core Performance series? Who are those books aimed at?
They're aimed at pretty much everyone. It's not a younger crowd. It's not a bodybuilding crowd by any means. They are fitness books by all means, but what Mark has done, he's really been one of the pioneers in core training, which the fitness magazines have sort of hijacked or refer to anything that helps you develop washboard abs. But Mark's philosophy is broader than that. You look at the core, it's really your shoulders, your hip, and your midsection. That's where all human movement comes from. And we live in this sedentary world. I mean, I'm sitting at my desk right now, and what's happening? I'm subconsciously becoming hunched over. My shoulders are rounding, my hips are tightening up. That's a very bad thing that can lead to injuries and long-term deterioration. What this program does, Mark's core performance program that I've been honored to write 5 books about with him, it opens up your body. It helps you rekindle those natural movement patterns to help you move with your hips, with your gluteus maximus muscles, shall we say, your shoulders, and also your midsection, rather than putting the emphasis on the limbs, which can result in long-term back problems, knee issues, and the like. So it is certainly a physical fitness program, and for anyone looking to get a lean physique, as they might in any other workout regimen, it'll do the job. But Mark's philosophy is, we're going to spend the time to do that. Why not do something that's going to make our body more functional for everyday movement, give us more longevity, give us more quality of life as we go down the road?
Now, Pete, you couldn't see me, but as you were talking about, hunching over the desk and, the back being curved, I suddenly, viewers, and you'll see this on the replay later, but viewers will know that I sat up much straighter at my desk while you were talking, saying that, trying to set a good example, but I'm afraid it's just not going to do me any good. Are these books, there's a whole bunch of them. There's Endurance, and there's For Golf, and there's now the new book for women. Are they intended for the average person who goes for a run on the weekend, or is it people who, that kind of weekend warrior mentality, that go out and they train hard, even though they're not, they're not going to be pros, they may not ever run the Boston Marathon, or is it really for a professional athlete?
Well, it's definitely not for the professional athlete, even though that's Mark's legacy, his heritage, with what he deals with in training pro athletes. But our really 3 of our books, the first two, the original Core Performance, the second Core Performance Essentials, and our most recent Core Performance Women, are aimed at a broad mass market audience, anyone from 8 to 80, really. And we could probably go beyond that age bracket. So it really, yes, appeals to them. If you are somebody active, you already have a workout regimen, I think you'll find this will help you do your workout a little more efficiently. You'll find you get better results with this in terms of, again, working the stabilizer muscles of your core than you would with a lot of fitness regimens that still have that heritage from 1970s bodybuilding routines. And then we did two other books. Core Performance Endurance is a little more of a hardcore book for people who are already involved in running, cycling, swimming, and, of course, triathlon. And then we did one, Core Performance Golf, which isn't particularly strenuous, but it geared more toward the golf crowd. People don't tend to think of golf as a strenuous sport, but it's a very one-sided ballistic sport. And because you're using one side of your body in a very sort of violent, high-torque fashion, you're really setting your body up for a lot of muscle imbalances and other back and joint problems down the road. So that's geared specifically to the golf crowd.
Any chance of a Core Performance Lazy Bastard edition?
Well, you know, we do put a part of our books, I know in the Core Performance Essentials book, we did a section we called for the deconditioned person, who I think would fall into that category, somebody who's been doing so little for so long that they have become deconditioned, because you never want to jump from nothing even to a minor workout regimen. And so this really brings you in, it inches you along very slowly so that you don't hurt yourself along the way.
Now, before we have to wrap up, I want to touch on, and we can transition this very nicely, one of the guys that your co-author, Mark Verstegen, has trained this past year was Evan Longoria, the Gold Glove All-Star third baseman for our Tampa Bay Rays. So I have to ask, is Mark Verstegen the reason that the Rays are 16-5 as we speak?
Well, he's had some luck with a lot of their players. He's trained Carl Crawford off and on, Mark, along with his staff members out in Phoenix for, I think, about 7 or 8 years now. And Carl will be the first to tell you he's had great success training with Mark. Evan Longoria this past winter. Now Mark has trained Pat Burrell for probably longer than Carl Crawford, and which is kind of interesting because those two guys nearly came to blows at one point last season. But Pat Burrell has struggled a great deal, certainly with the Rays. But he did have some very good years with Philly, and even though his numbers aren't huge this year, thus far with the Rays, he's really getting some clutch hits. So if nothing else, I guess Pat Burrell is a long-term project.
There you go. That's a nice way to put it. Before we have to go, what's next? What are you working on?
Well, one of the interesting things I'm doing now is somebody who's sort of morphed a bit from sports writer to fitness writer. I'm working for Competitor Magazine, which is owned by the Competitor Group out in San Diego, which owns a number of endurance sports events. They now own this chain of 10 or 12 endurance sports magazines, including Competitor Florida, which is what I've been working for. So for me, it's an interesting nexus I have between sports, business, and fitness, and all kind of overlaps and weaves together. And I think that makes sense because for all the talk of our sedentary, technology-based obesity epidemic society that we have, I really think for a lot of people, they're getting away from being spectators and really wanting to be participants now more than ever. I'm not sure the factors behind that, but it is definitely a phenomenon, and that's something that my career is becoming more of these days.
Well, folks, listen, you can find Pete Williams' new book, Core Performance Women, as well as all of his other books, including The Draft, in great bookstores everywhere or online at MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com, and you can learn more about my friend Pete at www.petewilliams.net or follow him on Facebook. Pete, you're a great guy for coming in at the last minute, and thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thanks, Bob. Really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Good to talk to you, my friend. And, folks, for more original interviews with your favorite sports writers and athletes, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. Go to www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia for your free audiobook. And folks, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you sharing a piece of your day with Mr. Media. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Hey, this is comedian Mark Maron, and I love Mr. Media Radio, even though he didn't let me go on as long as some other guests.